was to the effect that all the armies that have ever marched and wars that have ever fought and politicians and people who've been here have not changed our world as much as the birth of this baby, this one life. And there is a poem that's been written about that called One Solitary Life. And just thinking about that this morning and how relevant it is to what I want to say to you. So I'm going to read these passages, but I'm just going to read them this morning. In Luke chapter 1, in Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, he records a couple of songs. And we sing every week at church, but especially this time of year, it's a time when we can sing and celebrate the coming of God into our world. And they sang when Jesus was born. There were several songs that were recorded. A few years ago in our church, we decided to look at all these songs of Christmas. There was Zechariah's song, there was Simeon's song, there was the angel's song, and there was Mary's song. Four songs that are recorded that seemed the whole world was singing when Jesus was born. And in Zechariah's song in Luke chapter 1, he says in verse 68, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He's set the people free." And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. In what way was the birth of this baby at Christmas time something which set people free? Why did they sing about that? He goes on in verse 74 in that same chapter. He says, "He came to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear all of our days." So Jesus was born. Jesus came into our world, as Zechariah is saying, to set people free, to rescue people from the hand of their enemies, and to remove our fear so that we can serve God. That's why he came into the world. In Mary's song in the previous chapter, in Luke chapter 1, earlier verses, she says something similar. She says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior," verse 47. From all generations will call me blessed. Why? "Because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And she goes on to say something similar. She says in verse 51, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm and scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." So Mary sings about this experience too, of how God has brought the powerful down low and he's raised the humble up high. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning as we go through our next in the series of our Advent. We're basing all of this series on this wonderful text from Isaiah chapter 61, where the prophet looks down through the ages and sees the day that would come when he would proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom from the captors, and release prisoners from darkness. And those four themes, the idea of good news for the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, which we heard about last week, and today, setting free the captives, freedom for the captives, is what we want to focus on. Then next week, we're thinking about light and darkness and giving sight back to the blind. Next Sunday morning, our young people are going to be taking part and leading the service for us. They'll have a drama that they're working on, some readings and other things. So we're going to be led next week by our young people. Jesus picked up this theme, these verses from Isaiah 61. And I want to focus this morning on what he meant when he said that God has sent him to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to set the oppressed free. How did he do that? And what way was what we witnessed this morning something which set people free and removed people from oppression? I often wonder, I don't know if you ever think about this, I think about these things, like what were these people, these wise men and shepherds and mother and father, what was going on in their minds when all of this was happening? Okay, when the angel appears to Joseph and Mary and they go to Bethlehem, when shepherds are in their fields and they see angels, when wise men see a star and are guided, Do you ever really wonder what on earth is going on in their minds? They're responding to it, they're taken up by it, but then when it's over, what were they thinking? What did they think afterwards? As this little baby is born, and Mary is visited by shepherds and wise men and receives all of that, but then she's thinking, what is going to happen next? How is God going to do all of this? She's sung this song, but she's got to have thought, how, God? How on earth is this going to change our world, our people? How is this going to set anyone free? And as she waited year after year, as Jesus became a little boy, as he became a teenager, as he became a young man, right up until he reached the age of 30, still waiting. And these shepherds that we never hear of them again, you often wonder about them. And so how is this going to all happen? This morning, I'm going to talk about how Jesus sets people free. Slavery has been something which our world experienced for a long time. Obviously, in the days of Jesus and what we call the ancient world, slavery was rampant. Every society of that time knew what it was to practice and see and observe slavery. And the people of Israel were no different. They felt, even though there was a degree of freedom, they had their own king, but that king was only king because the Romans made him king. There was still a lot of slavery in the land. The people did not know freedom. They were waiting for the day when they'd be liberated from the oppressor, when they would have their freedom back again to rule in their own country and not be controlled by others. And slavery was rampant. I'm sure some of us have seen some of these TV shows and these films. I remember when I was a teenager when Roots came out and was on the BBC, and has since been shown and remade. But what about some of these other films? You remember Cry Freedom from the 80s? Steve Biko, the story of Steve Biko in South Africa, and the incredible torture that man went through simply because of his race. Amistad was probably my favorite, if you can have a favorite story about slavery. One, a very, very powerful movie with Morgan Freeman, and in a very, very graphic way showed what these men and women and children went through as they were transported across, mainly from Africa, to what was called the New World. There's an amazing scene in Amistad. I encourage you to watch the movie. If you've never seen it, it's a brilliant, brilliant film, where two of these men who have been brought over as slaves, and then they've done something and got into trouble. They've been put into a jail, and they're terrified that they're going to be killed because they've disobeyed their masters. And there's a group of Christians in this town, and they pass a book through the window of the prison cell to these two black slaves. And it's a picture book, and it's the story of Jesus from his birth, growing up. And of course, these men who can't read English, but they see the pictures of the birth of Jesus, of his healing, and ultimately they look to the picture of Jesus being tortured and Jesus eventually dying on the cross. And one looks to the other, as one is reading it, these tears come into the eyes of these two men who are slaves. And one, in his own language, says to the other, "Who is he?" He says, "I don't know. The book came through the window. Someone gave us this book." And they're weeping as they look at the pictures of Jesus. And he says, "I don't know who he was, but he must understand what we're going through. I don't know who he was, but he must understand what we're going through." About 5 years ago, Adrian and Christina invited us to go and see 12 Years a Slave. And it's harrowing, right? One of the most harrowing films that we can see and we've ever seen. But again, based on a true story of a man in New York who was free. So this is after slavery has been abolished in America. So this is a free man, but he is taken deceptively by a couple of men. He's kidnapped, he's taken down to the South, and he's forced to work as a slave for 12 years. And again, very harrowing film. But these films bring to light and show us the atrocity, the terrible, terrible situation that persisted in our world. And as a nation, we need to stand up and recognize what we did as a nation at that time. It was estimated, this is the time, by the way, when Britain ruled the waves. It was estimated that British merchants for 100 years, just over 100 years, transported about 3 million African people from their nations, from their homes, across to North America and to the New World. 30,000 different voyages, 30,000 ship voyages took place during that time. And that was just from Britain. That was just our nation and what our nation did. Cities like Bristol, London, Liverpool, and Glasgow grew rich over slavery. As these people were captured, sold for somewhere in the region of 30,000 British pounds. That's how much money people made for getting a slave and taking them to the New World and transported them over there. Horrendous, horrendous times. What made it even worse is that politicians and leaders tried to justify it. And many times, churches were silent. Ministers, theologians, pastors, bishops, priests, popes, all were silent and didn't say a thing and justified what went on. But eventually, there were a group of people called the Quakers, who were a Christian group, who spoke out against it. And then the Baptists spoke out against it. And then the Methodists spoke out against it. And eventually, in our country, a man called William Wilberforce stood up, Christian politician, and campaigned for the release and the of slaves and the abolishment of slavery. And of course, that's the movie Amazing Grace. In case you're wondering why that's up, it's not the song, it's the movie. And again, I encourage you to watch the movie or read about Wilberforce. It took a long time for Christians to speak up and speak out against this atrocity in our society. Of course, if only slavery was a thing of the past. If only if it was something that we said, well, yeah, 200 years ago, our country did some very, very bad things, very evil things, and treated people cruelly. But slavery is just as much alive and well today. According to UN statistics, there are very conservative estimates, 27 million people living in enforced slavery today. Many people who challenge these figures believe it's actually 10 times that amount. Some people think over 200 million people are living in enforced slavery today. Not just in other countries, but slavery can be something even in our own country, where someone is forced into labor. And this actually happens, where migrants who come to our country and are forced to work have their passports removed from them so that they must stay in their jobs. I know people in this church who were forced to work for places in Glasgow at whatever money the employer would give them, for however long they wanted, they expected them to work, and were treated basically like slaves. So slavery is something very, very common. There's all kinds of slavery, of course. It's not just for labor. There's child slavery, which is very common in our world. And of course, the whole sex slave trade, which is happening. So slavery is alive and well today in all kinds of forms. Let's not think that it's something that was abolished and no longer exists. Week after week, we see evidence of a different form of slavery. The addictions, the oppression that people feel in their lives. People who are free and live in a free society, who live in our country, in our community, but suffer from all kinds of addictions. Of course, the big ones are gambling, drugs, alcohol, and smoking, but there's all kinds of other things in society that people can be addicted to. And so wherever we look, okay, people need to be set free. Okay, whether it's slavery, ancient or modern, whether it's addiction, or whether it's just people who are oppressed with society and the laws and the benefit system that they're in, people are yearning for freedom today. It's just as much as real. And so we come to not just the baby in the manger, but Jesus, the liberator. And there was that day when he was baptized in the River Jordan, and as he came out of the River Jordan, he took these words, recorded in Luke chapter 4, on his own lips, and said, "The Spirit of the Lord has now anointed me. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives." And when he rose from the River Jordan and went into his ministry for 3.5 years, Jesus, the liberator, set people free. Here's one of the texts in which he talks about this. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, Jesus is confronted by religious leaders as to why he's doing what he's doing. And he says this, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, the context here was Jesus was setting people free, but he wasn't meeting the expectations of the religious leaders and the zealots, the ones who wanted to overthrow Rome. Why was Jesus not going into the courts of Rome and the Roman authorities and challenging them? Why was he not threatening them of what God was going to do? Why was he not liberating the Jewish people and overthrowing the armies and the politicians? Why was he not doing that? Why was he going to the ordinary people? And why was he challenging the religious leaders and saying, "You need freedom too. You need to be set free"? Because Jesus said, "It's in my words, my teaching. If you hear my words, listen to what I'm saying to you, and you let my words come into your life, you will know the truth and you will be set free." Freedom, in other words, Jesus is saying, is something that has to take place in here. Before you can remove chains from someone, before you can overthrow governments, before you can break free from addictions, something needs to happen in the human heart. That's where freedom is experienced. And Jesus is saying, "I came with my teaching, with my words, with my power to change human hearts." And people who listen to these words experience freedom within. Religious leaders saying, "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free?" So they totally misunderstand it. Totally misunderstand what he's saying. And then he says again, "Truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And ever since then, people who come to Jesus Christ, people who come to this Savior, people who come to God and seek this freedom in their lives, listen to his words, come to him and ask him to come into their lives to bring that freedom, to bring that change, Jesus changes people. I could give you 100 examples this morning from the life of Jesus. I'm only going to give you one from the Gospel of Luke and Luke chapter 13. And in this story, it's a story of how Jesus sets one person free. And that's the thing I love about the stories of Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't come with great armies to overthrow kingdoms. Jesus didn't come to start revolutions in that sense. He did in a sense of a revolution of love. But he came to change one person at a time. A woman here, a child there, a man here, whoever it was that would come to him and really wanted to listen to his words and experience freedom, Jesus could and would and did change that person's life. And here's one of the many examples. One Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in one of their synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over. She couldn't straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, "Woman, you are set free." There's this idea of the words again. Jesus said, if people listen to my words are true and can set people free. You are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. He continued, "Should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And again, imagine if you were this woman. Imagine if for 18 long years, you longed to be set free from an infirmity. Okay, a physical infirmity that you just couldn't be set free from. And in one of the other Gospels, it talks about a similar lady who went to get doctors and went everywhere to try to get help, and no one could help her because there was something deeper going on here. And I'm not going to get into all the details this morning, but I think it's interesting the wording that Jesus uses here. You see, there wasn't just a physical thing. There was, but it was something deeper. There was a spirit which had crippled this woman for 18 years. And so I'm not going to unpack all that what that might mean this morning, but simply to say there was a spiritual bondage in her as well as the outward manifestation, which was the physical. So if you see this woman was bent over. She couldn't straighten up. You could see the physical manifestation, but there was a deeper bondage inside her that Jesus alone could touch and set free. And isn't that true? So many times in our lives, what we see outwardly, physically, and Elaine was talking about this last week, you see the outward signs, but you don't always see the inward signs of broken hearts. You see the physical manifestation, and many times what happens outwardly, what we struggle with physically, is an indication that there's something deeper going on that we need healed from. It's not just about going to the doctor, wonderful and important though that is, and at times we need to do that, but we can even go and take medication but still not get to the root of what is causing these problems in our lives. And Jesus healed her physically, but also dealt with the root cause of why this woman was bound. And he says, she needs to be set free. She needs to be set free from what is binding her. After Jesus, the early apostles summarized what Jesus did in these words. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after his baptism, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. That's what Jesus did. And as Christians, we need to believe. And I say we need to believe because we can say we believe it, but I want to be stronger today. We need to believe that Jesus still can do this today. That people who are in bondage today, whether the bondage of addiction, whether it's physical bondage, of infirmity, of grief in their lives, of things that they've gone through, people that we know are held in captivity and held under oppression, we need to believe that this same Jesus can set people free today. I love it that our theme is love. I love the readings that Ruth gave us and the prayer that Dave shared with us. For God so loved the world. Weren't those readings just, in those prayers, just really special this morning? Okay? That those who know this God and live in him, live in love. May the love that was born in Bethlehem be born in us. May people see that love in the way we treat other people. And I know this is hard sometimes. There's many, many times we feel spent. We think, how can I love? How can I help that person? What can I do? But we can help one person at a time, just like Jesus did, going to a woman, bent over, praying, touching her, and giving her words of hope, of freedom. We can do it, one person at a time. For God so loved the world, and he showed it. And so how does all this happen? So we conclude this morning. Just want to go through 3 points of how does God do it? How can people say, Jesus has set me free, even today? The first thing, and we've touched on this and alluded to this, is this. If we just deal with the physical, if we just deal with what we see, many times people won't be set free. And trust me, we experience this week after week in our care and share, where we give people food, we give people our time, we listen to them, we even offer to pray with them, and sometimes people says, yes, please, I would love you to pray for me. And we do that. We give furniture as well as food. We give clothes. We give advice. We take people to places. And we do all of these things because of love. Just this week, a lady was in, she'd fled from Afghanistan with her husband and her 3 children. They live just over in this area of Mansewood. And she belongs to another religion. She came to me this week and she says, Pastor Don, I said yes. And again, I'm not trying to put other religions down today, but I'm just sharing what she shared with me. She said, when I came here, I went to my religion, people in my religion, and they didn't give me anything like you've given me. They wouldn't give me food. They never gave me the clothes. You got me a DVD player. You gave us DVDs. You got me a blender and a pot to cook my food in. She says, what I'm seeing is, she says, are all Christians like that? Do all Christians do this? She said to me. Because she says, this is amazing. What you, and I said, well, we should, we try to. But I said, we do this for you because if Jesus were here today, that's what he would do for you. He would get you a pot. He would get you a blender. He would help you. He would provide you with clothes. He would provide you with food. I said, that's why we do what we do. And there's many, many times where we encounter people and we're helping them. And what we would love to be able to do is to help those people to actually take it one step further and say, would you like to know Jesus? Do you like to experience him in your life? And you'll see what he can do beyond all that we're able to do, the physical. Because the first and the most important thing that we need to understand is people are set free because only God can deal with the spiritual forces that are keeping people in bondage. And Jesus did this all the time. As he spoke to people, he could see the forces of evil that were working in those people's lives. The things that we can't see. We can see the outward, and sometimes we see it in their demeanor. But we can't see that there are spiritual forces. The Bible talks about it over and over. Spiritual forces that work in our world through government structures and all around us that are trying to oppress and keep people in bondage. God sees that. That's why we pray. That's why we pray for people and to introduce people to Jesus. Because when we know Jesus, the Bible says that God confronts those powers, he binds those powers, and he defeats those powers in people's lives. Jesus told a story one time to illustrate this. He said, imagine there's this big, powerful guy. I'm paraphrasing, okay? And he's got all these people as slaves, and they're all in his grip, okay? They're in chains, and no one can set them free because the big, powerful, strong man, he's got them in control. He says, what are you going to do? How are you going to help them? He says, you can't help them unless you take on the strong man. Unless you go to the strong guy and you defeat him and you bind the strong man, he says, then you can set people free. You can liberate people. And Jesus told that story to illustrate why he'd come into our world and how he does what he does in our lives. There is a strong man. We may not like to talk about this. It might seem superstitious to people. People might laugh at you when you do it. But as Christians, we need to keep referring. There is a strong man in our world who tries to oppress and put people down and keep people in slavery. Where has all of this come from, this slavery and addiction? Because they're evil powers. When we come to Jesus, we put our trust in him. When we hear those words, I can set you free. And when we believe that, something happens. Don't ask me to explain it all. Don't ask me to explain how all of the freedom takes place, but something breaks in people's lives. Strong men are defeated and people are released. But the second thing that happens after this is God deals with our sins. The reason why some people are in slavery is self-inflicted. It's because of sins that they've chosen to commit. Patterns of life lived year after year, sometimes generation after generation. One generation lives with it, another generation lives with it, another generation, and people are in slavery because of things that we do to our bodies, to our families, to ourselves. We need to be set free. We need to be forgiven for that. When we come to Jesus, Jesus is the power to forgive my sins, my family's sins, generations of sins, and to bring forgiveness and healing into people's lives. But Jesus also has the power, I believe, to challenge the what we call the systemic sins, the bigger sins in our society as well, and for us to speak into that situation too. So when Jesus comes into our lives, he forgives. He liberates people. He washes the slate clean. He says, you don't need to live like this any longer. Whether you've done it and your family's done it and your ancestors have done it, I can wash you clean. And through Jesus, through his death on the cross, he took all of that upon himself. He paid the ultimate price so that he can liberate and set people free. And finally this morning, how else does God do it? He does it by removing us from one land, if you want to think of that way, and bringing us into another place. Of course, this is illustrated in the Bible through the children of Israel. They were taken from Egypt in slavery, and they were brought into a new land. But as Christians, we talk about this language too. We talk about the language of a new life. We talk of how when we know Jesus, the old has gone and the new comes. We talk about a new relationship. We don't live in that world any longer. My grandfather, who grew up in Belfast in the start of the 20th century, he experienced this conversion himself when he was in his 20s. I won't go into all the things that my grandfather was in at that time, but experienced this salvation, this experience of Jesus. He had to climb over the gates of a church to get in. There were so many people wanting to hear this man. His name was called Mr. Nicholson, W.P. Nicholson, came to Ireland and preached, and a huge revival broke out. And hundreds of thousands of men and women were experienced this conversion. My grandfather was one of them. And so I grew up in a family, because obviously my mother, his daughter, grew up as a Christian too. But the same happened on my dad's side. So I've been privileged. I've grown up in a family that's known this experience, this liberation. And it's something that as Christians we believe, that when you know Jesus, your life changes. You don't live there any longer. You live in a new experience, a new relationship, a new world, if you want. And that's what Jesus brings when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And so this morning, this Sunday of Advent, when we think about God's great love for us and how that love has set people free for thousands and thousands of years. You know what? They will try to eliminate Christianity. I don't know if any of you are watching this series. There's a series on BBC 2, 3 at the moment by Dermot McCulloch, and he's talking about the history of Christianity. And it's really interesting, and The latest one is about the evangelical movement. And so all of these people all over the world who've been born again, who've been set free, who love Jesus. And he says in this, Dermot McCulloch, one of the reasons why people have tried but can never extinguish Christianity is because of this. Because it changes people's lives. It changes ordinary people's lives. It sets people free. It gives people something to live for. It gives people hope. It gives them a purpose. It gives them a power to change their lives. It gives them a new sense of love and victory over all of these. And so this morning, my takeaways is this. We need to be aware. Let's become aware of people in our society who need to be set free. They're all around us. Secondly, we believe, don't we, in a God who came in Jesus and comes by the Holy Spirit to set people free. That's what we believe. And so, and I shared that with that lady this week. This is why we do it, because as Christians, this is what we believe. God came into our world for people just like you, and he comes into the hearts of people just like you if you open your heart to him today. But finally, maybe more personally, as we leave here today, is there something that you need to be set free from? Whether you're Christian or not this morning, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you know what it is. Maybe there's something in your heart, something in your life, something in your family, something that you're hiding, something that you're holding on to today. Maybe you come to church, you put on the right appearance, we do the right things, but there's something, and you know what it is deep inside your heart. You believe my words today. You believe that Jesus sets people free, but there's something in your life that you've never let him set you free from. What is that? Will you leave here today? Carry it with you. Carry the chain out of the church around this week. Or will you let Jesus set you free today of something in your life? So, Lord, as we come to the end of this time, as we thank you again for your great unconditional love for this world, for us, for me. I pray today, I pray, Lord Jesus, that all of us would remember again and be reminded of just how much you can do in people's lives. How you came, Jesus, to set people free. How you did that one at a time. How you continue to do that. How you've done that for 2,000 years as your church has gone into situations and practiced the love of God and gone in the power of the Spirit and prayed and helped to liberate people. God, forgive us for the things that we've done in the name of Christ that have been the opposite. Forgive us for those times when, as Christians, we haven't spoken up, we haven't stood up, we haven't said, this is wrong and not acceptable. No, God, help us to be your people. Help us to be people who embody the message of Jesus, the truth that sets people free. And may everyone here today, Lord, not just accept that, but may they experience that in their lives today. If there is anyone here, someone sitting afraid to say, afraid to speak up in these moments, Lord Jesus, draw near to that person by your Holy Spirit right now. And may they hear these words, I can set you free. I love you. You don't need to live like this. I came to set you free. Lord Jesus, help us this week to be liberators, people who take this message and show your liberating love in our lives with everyone we meet. In your name, amen.